very good morning to you on this Wednesday morning, 13th of March. Welcome to Breakfast with Pat and Heels. We're brought to you by Burbank Homes, the builders you can trust. You can bank on Burbank Homes and Hyundai, the all-new Hyundai Kona N-Line. Love you to join us, 13 13 55. Teams are out for round two. What are your thoughts? So that's the Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line, or you can text us on 0467 736 736. Morning, Heels.
G'day, Paddy. I see... I think that's Luke Beveridge. They're the Western Bulldogs up on the TV. They got People's Choice Bank too on their colours.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay. There we go. So that's what they named their new stadium down the coast,
Heritage
isn't
Bank,
it
was now known as People's First Choice or something. First
well
Bank.
Picked up.
Yes. I'm looking forward to heaps of good games coming up. So, and who's going to bounce back from underachieving first round or opening round and bounce back or not? And get some heat turned up on them. Rabbitohs could be one of those.
Yeah.
Jai Arrow missing.
He's gone. Oof. Super coach has wielded the axe.
Yeah, she said that it happened. Mm. So did he ring you?
No, he didn't consult me at all, to tell you the truth.
I think he's listening.
Sean O'Sullivan's gone. Go he's back to the reserves.
Having a baby this week too.
Oh, really?
Oh. Maybe he had it last week. Maybe he had it on the weekend. But yeah, it was due last week. It hadn't come. So yeah, he's gone.
Well, Isaiah Katoa comes in. Jake Averillo comes in for testing you. So
and who gets to play the Northern Devils this week? Katoa and Averillo take down the Burley Bears, and now they're gone. They're promoted to Redcliffe. Another thing about the Northern Devils when I was at the Burley Bears, Jamie Lee Lewis played for the women.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She played 13 for the North Devils. And it was a good quality game, actually.
She was water polo. She was a superstar water polo, wasn't she?
Yeah. So it was good to see her. Jackie was out there. And, the Burley Bears overpowered them. A bit like the way Northern Devils overpowered the Burley Bears in first grade.
Mm-hmm. You're still waiting to find out whether Corey Oates is going to play for your Burley Bears. He's not overly enamoured.
It's a bit far for him, isn't it? 100 km. Come on, Cor. Get down there. I think we're at home again. I can't get there this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're up against someone.
Anyway, stack of news coming out from the league. AFL, Luke Hodge joins us on a Wednesday. He'll be here from 7:30 to go through round one of the AFL. I know it sounds a bit strange, but yes, this is round one. I tell you what, the Lions skipper didn't miss yesterday.
Now, it's quite rare, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think... What other captains would do that? Have we heard do that over the last few years, do you reckon? I think Darcy Moore from Collingwood would.
Yeah.
Collingwood would. I don't think Lockie has been so public with a dressing down, has he?
No. He answered the questions honestly yesterday. He said, you know, we had 46-point lead, and he said we just became lazy and relied on others around there to do their jobs, which
selfish.
They didn't. Yeah.
Who else? I think Toby Green would probably do that at GWS. Mm. Probably hold their own players to account as the captain, not the coach.
Yeah. I would have no doubt Reynolds would do the same at the Bronx.
Yes. But I'm thinking in AFL, it's quite a new thing, isn't it?
Mm.
For the captain to berate the performance. And I think it's very good. So it's a step forward.
Yep.
I reckon.
Oh, yeah. Well, Hodgie's one of the great captains of all time.
Yeah.
He'll talk us through that. But, look, they've copped a bit of, you know, we had Zorks on Monday and he said, we fell down in a couple of areas. But they've copped a bit of stinging criticism from the pundits, particularly the journos that write about the game in Melbourne, saying it was tantamount to a choke. A couple have said that. So, yeah, look, we'll see what Hodgie's got to say because he's been well and truly inside the Lions' inner circle. For some time, and now he's a highly respected commentator on the game. But we've got him along, and we'd love to know what you think. If you want to have a chat to Hodgie, he's along from 7:30 on that Suncorp Home Resilience Open line, 13 13 55. Text line is open, 0467 736 736.
How did Robbo describe that choke?
He, in his mind, he was one of the pundits that gave them a pull through from what I read. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's a choke, but what does everyone else think? A choke is related to tension, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm. The tension gets hold of you and things shut down.
We weren't tense, I bet, giving up. squandering 46 points. Mm. We were probably loose, too loose.
Yes, exactly right. You talk about Reynolds. I think Reynolds is a captain that would say things like that if the team let them down. But at least we're going to have him back this week for the Thursday night game against Souths. Neither side wanting to go 0-2. Matty Ballon, assistant coach and a great friend of the show. He gave us a little insight into the skipper's well-being at the moment.
Yeah, no, he's good. He trained, he did everything today. So he's done the contact part of this week and he ran today. So he looks really good. And today, to be honest, I like the way he ran and took the line on. So he's got a lot of confidence in what his body feels like and you got to back him with the experience he's got.
Yep, exactly right. Although this was interesting. He did talk about the US trip. Now, we've moved. Dave Donaghy was hopefully joining us today. He's going to come on tomorrow morning. And it'll be interesting to see what his take is on the Vegas trip. I mean, Kevy, just as a throwaway line, said, "Oh no, we're happy to hand it over next year." Well, they've had a good week or so to sit down and take stock of what it's meant to the football department, etc. And Dave will give us an insight into that. But anyway, Matty Ballon, who's Kevy's assistant, spoke about the US trip.
Everyone's recovered well after the America trip. It probably took a little bit out of us just being away for a long period of time and being the first trip, but everyone's come back to Australia and I think we realise how lucky we are to live in Brizzy and have some really good conditions here and a really good facility to train at. So everyone trained well today. It was probably one of our best sessions, to be honest, so we're really happy with how we're going.
They were a little bit, the conditions were a little bit foreign, weren't they, in the Rams? The Los Angeles Hills?
Oh, yeah, as you know, Hills, international travel takes it out of you. You know, regardless if you're sitting in business class, I mean, it makes it a hell of a lot more comfortable where you can stretch out and have a decent sleep, etc. But, long international travel takes it out of you. So, it'll be interesting to see how they bounce back up.
A mate of mine was flying from England this week, in and out of Dubai, he reckons, an A380 felt like a Cirrus. It was getting thrown around that bad. It's the worst he's ever had.
Oh, really?
Oh. How scary is that? That's no good.
Fat Cat would love it, wouldn't it? Our great mate, Greg Ritchie.
No way.
World's worst flyer.
Yeah.
The world's worst. Hey, speaking of cricket, you spent the day yesterday out at the Shield. Some good, some bad for Queensland. We know this doesn't mean a whole heap as far as, final is concerned, but they would like to go out with a decent performance, but we only made 144.
Yeah, and 70 of them by Xavier Bartlett teeing off at the end.
Yeah.
So that was poor. We're certainly not batting good enough to play for Queensland with that way. And got to see Callum Vidler, who's the young gun from under-19s Australia, and he was lively and had a job to bowl short at a couple of batsmen. And so he got 2 for 50 off 12.
Yeah.
Got a wicket in his first over. He seemed to drag some shots out of the players. You know, lively bowlers, the batsman gets really tense and plays a shot, and both shots that he got his wickets on were quite false, so he drew them into some shots they didn't really want to play. Australia, Queensland made 144, as you said, came out. Xavier Bartlett, first ball of their innings, got a wicket, one for none from one. And, didn't get any better than that. Over time.
Yeah.
Oliver Davies is batting pretty well with Edwards at the crease. At the moment, 5 down.
Yeah, you're right with Bartlett with the batting, though. We made 144. He made 70 of them. Hit 7 fours and 5 sixes. So
sixes, did he?
He came out having an absolute tonk, and that's exactly what we need. Otherwise, the batting would have been just disastrous for Queensland. Yeah, top order's really struggling at the moment. Street 9, Lovell, a duck. Jack Clayton, a duck. Ben McDermott 1, Jimmy Pearson 6, take away Max Bryant's 33, and the top order looks decidedly sick.
But then Max just put one to point in the air. So backward point, catch, here you go, have this. I went into a meeting at 6 for 63, came out, and all that Xavier Bartlett damage had been done, I missed it. And then one thing I worked out yesterday, Paddy, how long does cricket go for?
They had the washout on day one, so it was an extraordinarily long day yesterday. It started at 9:30.
I reckon I was 9:30 to 5. I'd missed the last bit because I was hopeful when I looked it back up they might have got a couple of wickets after I left. But yeah, I got home, my eyes were red. I was parched. Squinting.
Well, all of this While the Australians actually get a bit of a have a bit of a relax, but Andrew McDonald, the Aussie coach, has spoken about Steve Smith, who seems to be the only one facing a bit of pressure, given that Alex Carey scored that brilliant 98 not out and won us the second test against New Zealand. So now the spotlight for a while goes on to Smith, and of course him batting in his brand new position as opener.
I don't think it's deserved. I think he'll be able to work through that. It's a new challenge for him. It's a new position. And if you're bringing in a new opener and you gave them four test matches and then said, oh, okay, we're going to shift that after four test matches, would you think that's fair or unfair? Oh, I think it's reasonably unfair.
I don't know. You'd have to ask Cameron Bancroft and Matthew Renshaw and Marcus Harris, I reckon. But, yeah, definitely if it's Steve Smith, he deserves more time and he'll get it. Hopefully, the start of next season, you think he should open for New South Wales?
Yeah.
Probably should, eh? In the Shield games, well, that'll be in October, November. Oh, yeah. There's a white, oh, I think there's some one dayers before the Indian series. Yeah, I agree. I think get some red ball top order practice and confidence under his belt.
And to be fair, I think Andrew McDonald is agreeing with that. He said now's not the time to make a definitive decision on Smith.
I'm always a believer in making the decision when you need to make the decision, and now's not the time for that.
The New South Wales opener that played yesterday, Constance, under-19 prospect. So he looked quite solid at the crease yesterday. So those types of players will now start to get goes for their states and then emerge early season next year.
Okay,
next
season. Yeah, not just quickly year. On that match, the Blues are 5 for 222. So we had them 5 for 144, which was the scores were level at that stage, but now they lead by 78, so they've got the whip hand. In the other matches, Hills, there's a lot more interest, obviously, as far as the Shield goes with the Tasmanians. Don't know what they've done down there.
Knocked them over.
Hobart, yes. They still need another 316, given that the highest team score for the match is 271. It seems unlikely they're going to get that. They're already 1 for 8, having lost Matthew Wade, so... Yeah, they're teetering on maybe sort of missing out on hosting the final.
Yes, and, that's right. It's between WA. They can parachute in.
Yeah, well, WA lead by 219 runs with 4 wickets still in hand against Victoria. So that game is nicely poised as well. So, yeah, plenty of action in the Sheffield Shield. All right, it's 6:16 and Vanessa has just rolled on into the studio. You'll be excited. Hodgie joining us today. We've got a full half hour chatting AFL. But
very excited, yes.
The co-captain not happy yesterday. The Lions, he gave it to him.
I was very happy with Lockie's comments yesterday, actually. Okay. Because, I mean, Harris Andrews had given a comment post-match and it was along the lines of, oh, we've got a growth mindset. We're learning from it. And I was a bit like... That's very uninspiring. When Lockie came out and said, they're lazy, we were selfish, I was like, good on you. Like, you actually want a bit of a fire up after a game like that. So, yeah, hopefully.
Because we've finished learning, haven't we? Yeah, the Lions are expected to win this year. Oh. So no learning anymore.
And growth mindset has been the line for 5 years now.
Exactly right.
You know?
Yeah.
Do you think Ben Stokes told him to do that?
Probably.
Told him to say that?
They've been chatting. Yes. Okay. Now, if you are a Commonwealth Bank customer, you may have had issues overnight. If you were trying to access your accounts, transfer any money, make any payments, there was a major outage with the app, the NetBank app, as well as the website and for people making purchases. So it caused a bit of angst because, obviously when you can't access your money, it's a little bit stressful, especially if you are trying to do something there and then. So it was out for a few hours, but Commonwealth Bank has released a statement saying that services have been restored now, apologising. They haven't really said what has caused it, but just that there were some technical issues.
Okay.
So hopefully all the money is there and accounted for.
I might have to check.
Double check.
You check under your pillow too.
Okay, we need to keep talking about the Royals. This story evolving. Yeah. So obviously Princess Kate underwent her surgery in January. She hasn't been seen since Christmas Day. Wild theories speculating, conspiracy theories about what has happened. Are they telling us the whole story? They release a photo of Kate and the three children to try and ease some of that speculation.
It was a good photo,
that
too.
That photo gets pulled by the news agencies for having been manipulated. Well, now there's more theories out saying that that picture was actually taken back in November. And that because people have kind of done a lot of looking back at old footage and old photos and saying, you can see their clothing here is very similar to when they did an ad. They kind of did this donation kind of bank. And they're saying they've just changed the colours and changed little bits of their clothing. And so it doesn't actually ease any of the speculation about is she okay?
And the tree in the background had leaves, which is
right.
The wrong season for it to have leaves.
Yeah,
I read all this.
Yeah. So look, it's not going away, and I think you know until they actually release proof of this photo, you know, it's just been very clumsily handled.
Definitely.
And communicated.
She came out. Do you believe her that she manipulated?
No,
so we don't believe that either. Did you see the news that had the back end of the photograph? All the computer code that they could see when it was taken, when it was modified, all that?
And what's been manipulated, yeah. So, look, that just keeps on raising questions. No answers really given. So, anyway, amidst all of that,
sleep.
I hope she's okay.
I couldn't sleep last night.
Mm.
I was worried.
A bit stressed. Yeah, I bet you were. And look,
what's happened?
A quick shout out today to more than a million students around the country. Those in years 3, 5, 7, and 9 begin their NAPLAN testing today. My kids are both doing it this year. Can't say I love it. Look, it's a very divisive kind of topic.
Because I reckon the teachers have got it wrong.
Mm.
When it started, I can't believe it's 16 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be diagnostic. Just do it. Just do it and we'll see how good we are. And they don't need coaching. They don't need any.
Yeah, it's
we'll just see what we've got.
A snapshot in time.
Yeah. And now it's become so stressful.
It has.
Oh,
yeah.
It's terribly handled.
Yeah. So anyway, those stats, though, will be given to the schools, the results. It's happening earlier than it used to happen.
Mm.
And they're saying the results will be delivered earlier than ever as well. So by the start of term two, a couple of weeks into term two, we'll get those results. And, yes, we just hope that information is used for the best. Not competing schools against each other.
Best of luck, kids, today. It's 6:21. Thank you, Vanessa. Breakfast with Pat and Heels on this Wednesday morning, powered by Kubota. Take on any job with Kubota's mowers, their tractors and their Land Pride attachments. The Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line, Heels, 13 13 55. That's open. So the text lines, 0467 736 736. A couple of texts here. Not overly flattering. Reece Steve Smith. Morning, guys. Andrew McDonald is at it again, talking absolute nonsense. This is from Stuart Jim Boomba. What are we saying here with Steve Smith? Is it time to make the decision? Because the writing is on the wall. We need to grow these young blokes and find out what we've got in the Sheffield Shield, because Steve Smith is just not getting it done. And then Roy from now, we think it's Badadaba. We've had this before, haven't we? Rory, I should say. Morning, Rory. Morning, lads. Simple. Smith is not an opener and never will be. Look to the future. So what do you do with him? One of the greatest bats for Australia ever.
Yeah, you don't have to do anything.
Put him back in the middle order? Or?
No way. You know, we moved him because he wasn't doing the job in the middle order. This is not an experiment. I've always said it. If he doesn't cut it at the opening position, he's finished. And he will. He will, no problem. So, you know, we don't have to do anything for 6 months. Just watch him go in the IPL and watch him play cricket and just see how he starts the season next year. That's when a lot of these openers must come out of the box. That they must be so inspired at the moment, knowing that, you know, Khawaja's not far away and Smith's struggling. I need to make big runs at the start of next season.
Yeah, so we have Renshaw sitting on the pine in New Zealand when there's Shield games to be played.
Yep, there's a Shield game to be played. So as we said yesterday, hopefully he was the concussion substitute that meant he couldn't move, he couldn't leave. Nessa could have moved but didn't, because Queensland aren't challenging the top of the table,
I suppose. Sure. Thank you, Rory. Thank you, Stu. Stu sent in another one. Morning, guys. Just on Lachie Neale and his comments, it's actually very refreshing to see someone go hard at the Lions players. The Lions have it all except for that ruthless edge to win the flag. Stu, yeah, well, look, this is what Lachie had to say yesterday when asked about this fade-out where they came from, they lost the match against Carlton from 46 points up in a blink of an eye.
Yeah, well, probably started in the second. I feel like we actually gained, well, probably probably levelled momentum after that first probably 10 minutes of the third. But halfway through that second, we probably saw some things that maybe didn't reflect the scoreboard. They didn't probably punish us as much. A little bit of selfishness. We weren't cohesive on defence. Probably thought the scoreboard's ticking along all right, so maybe just that intensity dropped away a little bit, and then they were able to kick a couple late in the second, but there were probably some warning signs earlier than that which we looked at. And then to start the third, they got a bit of a run on, and we weren't able to win the ball. I think clearances in that quarter, we won centre bounce, I think, in the third. Inside 50s, I think we had more. But just our intensity and hunger for defence and probably contest dropped away, and they punished us. And credit to them, they hung in there when we were going well and were able to turn the tide and get on top. But I thought we fought back quite well and able to stay in the game and gave ourselves a chance to win it, but ultimately fell just short. But
yeah, well, not good when you're losing hunger in your first match of the year. So, yeah, look, I'm certain Hodgie will have fairly strong views on it as well. 6:93 a.m. SENQ is your home of the Brisbane Lions and the Gold Coast Suns in 2024. You can hear the Suns take on the Adelaide Crows live from 6:30 Saturday. Then on Sunday, it's the Lions travelling west to face the Frio Dockers. That's live from 5:30 p.m. Now you can listen live right here on SENQ 6:93 a.m. or obviously on the SEN app where you get everything sporting wise.
You think that's Super Saturday? This Saturday? There's four games on. Unbelievable.
In the AFL?
Yeah. It goes from 12:45 at the MCG right through to 7:10. Hey?
Well, the four games have taken us through to midnight, has it?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
It's going to be busy. All right, it's just gone 6:30. Vanessa's coming up with the news, the sport and the weather. And we'll be back, talk a little bit of racing after this with Chris Nelson.
On Pat and Heels for breakfast, it's time for the Racing Queensland update. Racing action continues every day across the Sunshine State. Check out racingqueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing today.
Chris Nelson joining us. Good morning, mate. You've got to give a rap to RQ. They're happy to make Jason Scott and his team happy to make the tough decisions, and they're just going to rest the Gold Coast track after a deal of controversy from the Jewel Day on Saturday.
Yes, good morning, Paddy. Good morning, Heels. And that is definitely the case. We're going to the Poly track in a couple of weeks' time. So I think we're going to have a month before we race there again, which is a good thing. So hopefully everything can get look back to the way it was on Magic Millions Day, because there was no issues then.
So that was original sand kicking back. Not, I thought they must have reapplied sand in the lead up and preparation for the future, but yeah, it was dry, wasn't it?
It was dry, and the kickback was obviously there for all to see, and it was very difficult to make ground. So, look, everyone's put their hand up and said it wasn't ideal, so we can't go backwards, we can only go forwards, and that's what we're doing now.
Yep, exactly right, and I'm pleased that Jason Scott has come out and given some sucker to the punters and said this is what's happened. They just didn't put enough water on it, and they were hit by extremely hot conditions and high winds during the day, and we see it on the news every night at the moment. I mean, it's chaos down the Gold Coast. Maybe not for if your name is Mick Fanning, but apart from that, it's uncomfortable down there near the beaches for everyone. But let's get to Doom, and you've been in red hot tipping form. Long may it continue.
Well, it's a toughie today, guys, because we've got some shorties. I think they'll win, but I can't go tipping them all to you. I'll mention them. But, you know, they're a little bit short for the everyday punter, and you need to be on a pretty big wage to make some money out of them. So I'm not going to point anyone in that direction. But I do think the best bet comes up in the first race, so we can get the money nice and early. Tony Gollan's got number one. I think Tony Gollan's in for a really good day today. And just mentioning a soft 7 track after a bit of rain, not overnight, but the night before. So a soft 7 track was yesterday at afternoon, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We may get an upgrade this morning, but it'll be somewhere around the soft 6, I'd say, by race time. Race one, number one, Hell and Back. One run back from a break, ran second here at Doomben a couple of weeks ago behind the first starter, Majestic Boom, who was big odds, but gee, did a lot of work to get across early from the outside gate, or 13 of 14, and then, look, gave plenty in the straight, was only run down late. This time around, draws beautifully beautifully in gate number three. Drops back 90 metres and is obviously fitter than that first start run. So I think you'll find Helen back will go straight to the front, and we have a 10.5 metre rail today. So that's where you want to be, out front, and he'll be bowling along, and I think he'll be able to run them into the ground. So race one, number one, Helen back, clearly the best of the day for me. Now, this one in race two of Tony Gollan's, number five, Sacred Feeling, looks an absolute good thing, but at $1.55 odd, a little bit hard to tip, so we'll just mention it. And he's got another one in race three, actually race four, called Torabella, down the page there, number nine, who's even shorter. Who knows? May get out to better odds by the time they run, but she was very impressive winning at Ipswich on debut off the back of some trial form, some good trial form. So those two should win as well, but do what you wish with those at the short odds. I'll go with Chris Waller in race five, horse number one here, and that's Discover. Now, he's got the two main chances, and they are Discover and Autora. They come out of the same last start race. Discover ran second to Ichiban. Autora wasn't far away, but gee, I thought Discover was clearly the better run, stronger to the line. The other one there, Autora, had every possible chance and sort of turned it up a bit in the straight. So I think Discover is the way to go there. Race five, number one. And that pretty much rounds us out. I think Tycoon Tavi can run well in the last, number 11, or Typhoon Tavi, but she's just got that wide gate to deal with. If she gets across from there, I think she'll be very hard to run down, as long as nothing kicks up inside of her. So look, something on her in the last race as well, guys.
Hey, Chris, so
big day for Gollan. Big, big day.
Yeah. Chris, does Chris Waller get up here much?
No, only carnival time really heals.
Yeah, okay.
We don't see him up here other times of the year, only in the winter carnival and sometimes in the summer carnival, obviously, but other times he's in Sydney training multiple winners.
Mm.
So you'd think if T. Gollan can win three of the first four this afternoon, and maybe
yes,
the last if Typhoon Tavi gets a little bit of a buffer from that outside barrier.
Yep, I do. Her trials are good.
And your best of the day is race one, number one. Helen Becker describes my punting most days of the week. All right, well, look,
as long as it's Helen back.
Yes.
As long as it's not Helen, I make it come back.
Sometimes I don't come back. Exactly right. All right, mate. Great to chat to you, and we'll speak to you Friday. And long may this this purple patch of tipping continue for you.
Let's hope so, guys. Have a great day. We'll catch up Friday.
Thanks, Chris.
There we go. Chris Nelson for Racing Queensland. RacingQueensland.com.au for where Queensland is racing. Of course, it's Doomben today.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
On this Wednesday morning, you're listening to Breakfast with Pat and Heels, and we're powered by Kubota. You can take on any job with Kubota's mowers, tractors and Land Pride attachments. I'll tell you what, the whole Steve Smith debate has been causing quite a ruckus this morning, Heels. Matt from Ipswich. Morning, Heels. I reckon Smith is being greedy and should retire from Test cricket. He's been very privileged with contracts and his time is up. Time for youth. But because he's hung on for so long, the next one on the up is now not that young. You've got to remember, though, in his 109 tests, he's only a couple of hundred shy of 10,000 runs and he's still averaging nearly 57, which is a hell of a test average with 3,200s and 4,150. Mm. So, I mean, do you just throw him out on the strength that he's decided that he wants to go to opener and he's had a tough run?
Not yet.
No, you believe he should be well and truly
into next summer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I keep reading. We don't play another test now until late November when India arrive here for this bumper series that we can't wait for. So, yeah.
And then we hope Tony Dottomade and George Bailey and the coaches are very aware of the next generation. So there is a lost generation when an Australian team stays together for 10 years, which these guys have, especially in the bowlers, but many of the batsmen. And then the next generation, what have we got? And then can we inject one at a time? You don't have to change lots of things all at once because that destabilizes too. So they're all the decisions they can look into late September and October next year.
I'm certain one of the finest cricket commentators who's going to join us a little later on, Ian Smith, another great keeper. You two will have a discussion over that, but I know Ian Smith will have an opinion on it, on where he thinks Steve Smith is at with his career. I mean, there's been a few in this Australian team been, you know, facing pressure. Marnus before the 90 in the last test. Carey, before the 98 in the last innings that he would play in Test cricket for some time. And they've all, you know,
Travis Head
provided us with a few answers. Travis Head, maybe not so much as far as answers go. But yeah, there's, and it's going to be interesting on his take because he watches a lot of cricket globally, doesn't he? In person. He's one of the most wanted commentators on the planet. So yeah, Smithy is going to join us a little later on in the show. Hey, big news in the world of tennis. I don't know whether you caught up with this. A young Italian, 20-year-old Luca Nardi, who got into Indian Wells as a lucky loser. So he didn't even win during the qualifiers. But someone pulled out injured. He got in. He drew Novak Djokovic in the third round. Djokovic, he's won this tournament a stack of times, but making a comeback to Indian Wells. It hasn't been on his roster for a while. And he's taken him down 6-4, 3-6, 6-3. So as the world number 123... he's the lowest ranked player to beat Djokovic at an ATP Masters 1000 event or a Grand Slam level ever. And he's also the fourth lowest ranked player to beat a reigning world number one at a Masters 1000.
But he got through to the third round. He's lucky loser. Then he won in round one and two, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah. So he got through. And of course, this is the kid that has a photo as a poster of Novak on his wall.
Still have the poster of Novak on your bedroom door?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I have. Every time that I go to bed, I see Novak. So, and I think that starting from now, I will keep going. Yeah, for sure.
I'll get a screensaver as well.
Yeah, so the Italians haven't been all that kind to Novak recently, have they? Yannick Sinner knocked him out of the Australian Open, so he'll be having nightmares about that. Look, I read he gave. He gave full credit to the youngster. He said he played well, but he said, obviously I'm not at the point of where I believe my game should be. And it's been a bit of a rugged start. He said, I haven't got a major this year, i.e. Australian Open. And he said, I've had a couple of losses that normally wouldn't happen to me. So he said, I need to pull the socks up.
My theory is that tennis players, when they go fast. So can he stay in this year?
Well, Indian Wells is one of the big ones.
Hasn't that crept up on us?
Yeah.
What?
And I think he's going to go on to Miami too. So you've got Indian Wells and Miami pretty close by. As far as the golf goes, there's massive attention this week on the TPC Sawgrass, where the Players' Championship. So $25 million US, around $38 million Australian dollars for this one. But Heels, there's five previous winners not involved. Most notably... from 2022, Cam Smith, Garcia from 08, Mickelson from 07, Stenson and Keimer. Where are they?
Having a break.
Oh, they're in live, yeah.
Counting their dough.
Mm. And then
28 and 2007. How long ago is that?
Yeah.
We still think they're quite young, don't we, Garcia?
And they're indefinitely banned from the PGA Tour, obviously, because they're playing with live. But you also take into account Rahm, Koepka, Neiman, DeChambeau. None of them are playing this week. So, I mean, it certainly puts into question now whether the TPC, whether the tournament, whether the Players' Championship is actually the fifth major. The only thing to come out of it is that PGA Tour Chief Jay Monahan normally does a press conference at this event. It's almost like his State of the Nation address. And he's come out and said, look, negotiations with LIV are accelerating. But that's all he would say. He said, I'm giving nothing away because we still want to unify the sport and we have a shared vision to quiet the noise and unlock golf's worldwide potential. So negotiations with the PIF, Saudi's Public Investment Fund, and the PGA Tour are continuing, but there's no end in sight right at the moment. So
he's just taken Greg Norman's words of the 1980s, 1986, when he tried to unlock golf's global potential.
Yeah.
And now in 2024, they think it's a good idea.
Yeah. And the sad part about it, I mean, the official golf rankings, I think I looked yesterday, but I'll just confirm. So J-Day's our best at 21. Then you've got Minwoo Lee at 32. And we go to Adam Scott, who's just inside top 50 at 49. Cameron Smith has dropped further now. So at the start of the year, he dropped to 25, and now he's down to 54. And Cam Davis is closing in on him very quickly at 57. So, yeah, look, obviously this is one of the big events in world golf coming up. Here's a little stat too as well. Since 03, so the last 20 years at the tournament players, at the Players' Championship, on the famous 17th hole, the Island hole, How many do you reckon in tournament play, how many balls do you reckon have gone into the water?
How long, you mean, in the history?
The last 20 years they've done this measurement. So
There's 80 rounds.
Since 2003.
That's 80 rounds a player times 100. That's 80,000 rounds. I'm going 20.
Jack wants to know how much
15,000 balls.
No. Way less than that. Well, Pro V1, Titleist Pro V1 is worth quite a bit, Jack, but it doesn't cost them anything. 990 in tournament play have gone into the water.
That's
in,
not many,
in 20
is it?
Years. No, it's not too bad, actually. I was pleasantly surprised.
Because they spin it into the water. They don't just shank it like us. Crunch into the front wall.
No. Jack's saying $18. That can't be right. Must be for a sleeve. $18. That's not right for one golf ball.
No. They're about eight bucks a ball now.
That would be for a sleeve of three, I reckon. Anyway, we'll get back. But yeah, it's the Players' Championship this week. It's one of the elite events in golf. And the prize money for this week is 38 million Australian. Take a break. We'll be back.
Good morning, I'm Vanessa Gibson with SEN News. Two people have been injured in a crash on the Gold Coast. It happened around 9 p.m. when a car collided with a pole at Narang. The 25-year-old driver suffered serious lower limb injuries, while the 19-year-old passenger has fractures. The federal government's admitted to issuing invalid visas for the 149 people released from indefinite immigration detention late last year. It says a technical issue was discovered, which opens the potential for charges to be dropped against those who were re-detained for breaching release conditions. But Home Affairs Minister Claire O'Neill's told Seven visas are being reissued.
Community safety has been our absolute priority in everything that we have dealt with on this issue. So those tough visa conditions have been reapplied to people, whether it's ankle monitoring bracelets, whether it's curfews and the like, and we'll continue to focus on that as we move forward on this issue.
Wastewater testing has shown a jump in the amount of illicit drugs used in Australia over 12 months. There's been a 19% surge in cocaine consumption and a 17% rise in the use of methamphetamine. CommBank has apologised after a major outage on its app and website last night. It was down for about 3 hours, but the bank says services have now been restored. And the husband of former Olympic cyclist Melissa Hoskins will face court for the first time today after allegedly causing her death. Rowan Dennis is accused of hitting her with his car outside their Adelaide home on December 30. SEN.com.au Sport is next.